Welcome to part two. I'm no longer gonna be grumpy on this podcast. I'm still grumpy in real life, but I'm gonna compartmentalize like an adult.
Just shove down all your emotions, you know?
Okay.
Just push it all down.
Much like most of the characters on this show do, I will just keep everything to myself and seethe quietly until someone gives me the opportunity to explode my emotions on them.
Probably
sorry.
Gonna be me.
I'm sorry. I had roasted veggies for dinner with no butter,
nice.
But a lot of avocado oil.
That's dairy free.
Yes, it is. That's why I consumed it. Okay. We're going to start this part two episode with everybody's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Amazing. This episode has two Shonda friends in it.
Two Shonda friends. Speaking of two Shonda friends, it's kind of like us, two Shonda friends.
We are two Shonda
and
friends.
And we put so much work into this podcast to bring you guys quality content. The least you could do is go and give us a 5-star review, a 5-star like. Hit that follow button. Share your friends the things about these podcasts. Tell us to the world. But my guesses are, number one, the dude who hangs his wife by the feet.
No.
No? The wife with the pacemaker?
No.
The crazy baby mama's mama?
No. God, they suck so bad.
Is it the two parents of the two babies?
Yes.
Both of them?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Graham Sibley played Noah, and he was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder. Murder. And then Lila Ayad, played Laura, and she was in 17 episodes of Scandal.
Lila
she
played
was,
Laura?
Like an aide for Fitz at the White House.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah.
Wait, sorry, who was the guy?
Noah. He was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder.
How to Get Away with Murder.
Yeah.
So, here's a funny story. This, I think, happened a long time ago, but I think there was some sort of reel or clip or something that I saw online that was a spoiler, but I didn't realize it was a spoiler at the time, and I got away from it. This okay. clip of the dude holding his wife upside down is what I saw.
Yes. Yeah. Which is fair, because it's wild.
So, yeah, I remember I seeing all of their faces and going, I have no idea who these people are. This isn't Grey's Anatomy.
That's
and
fair.
So when I saw that and then they were upside down and then I was like, something doesn't feel right. This feels like it might be Grey's Anatomy. And then I saw, I think after that scene, Christina or someone somewhere. But yeah, so that scene was a spoiler for me. But I didn't remember it until I saw it live here in this episode. Like I really did block it. I like trauma blocked it out of my mind.
That's fair. Okay, so let's talk about the baby people and Leah and Stephanie and Christina. So they have, for some reason, Christina has two interns, probably just for plot, and they have the pacemaker lady who we'll get back to, but they have two babies in the NICU, Reese and Samantha. And they're both on the UNOS list for a heart, but Reese is like way less emergent, so he's way lower on the list. But Samantha like is top of the list, like she is getting the next heart. And they don't explain why they are both single parents. They just both say that they are doing it on their own, so they have no spouses with their babies. And so they've like really bonded. They were born like within the week of each other. So they've really bonded and they're like going through this NICU experience together, which I could see because you would definitely need like a big support system to like emotionally deal with that. That's exhausting and like heartbreaking. And so it makes sense that you would bond with someone who is also going through it. So they're like each other's support system. They're obviously like also kind of falling in love or whatever. And
yeah, he like loves her.
Yeah.
He's like trying to stick it in.
He's trying to make a family that they can he's all like, just be together when they leave.
Yeah. Like he says, look, I got a baby. You got a baby. Let's make a baby together too.
I don't think he said that. But I don't think he'd be against it.
Yeah, I thought that they did say that.
And so, obviously for drama, Reese gets really unexpectedly worse really quickly. And like, as a heart is coming in for Samantha, so then it has to be diverted to Reese. And that's a bummer.
Yeah, it was, I guess
Samantha's mom is upset. And she's like, I want to be happy for you, but I cannot do that right now. And I feel like that's fair. And I don't think she's like mean to him. I think she's just honest. She's like, that was this baby's heart. And like, I have to watch her. She's dying and I have to sit here and watch and I can't do anything about it. And you like no longer have this. And I just like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. And I feel like that's valid.
And also, if I understand correctly, Reese just needed a valve. And what was the little other one's name?
Samantha, like me.
Oh, yeah. So the other Kelsey needed a whole heart. Reese needed just a valve. So when they got in there, did the surgery, and they're like, yeah, this whole thing is it's going to blow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty intense. When Steph, I think that's the scene that we talked about with Steph. Like, she had to be a real doctor in that moment. When she came out and was like, I need to speak to you in private. And they're like, no, we can do this together.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
But please don't make me.
You're gonna want this in private. Trust me. Yeah, that was hard. They were like holding hands. She moved away. He's not going to say no, but clearly he's like not dealing well with the situation as well.
Yeah.
Because he's recognizing that he could be killing Samantha.
I mean, he wouldn't be killing. It's not like when Izzy stole a heart, all right? It's
yeah.
Not really stealing a heart. So, Steph's like, I don't want to tell him in front of her that he is stealing. But then it's like, if she doesn't tell him in front of Laura, which is Samantha's mom, then he has to go and tell her. Well, I guess he doesn't have to, because they would come in and say, like, oh, you're not getting the heart, it's going to someone else. But, like, it's just do it all together.
Yeah. Also, they're so teeny tiny in the
jar
of ice.
Tiny.
It's like the size of my AirPod case, if not smaller.
It's so yittle. They're yittle babies. Which I have one. But I don't feel like she's that little. Which, I mean, she wasn't a preemie, so that tracks. She wasn't that little. It's all coming together. Little by little in my brain.
Well, we're realizing things together on the fly tonight, you know? So that's okay.
We're really living it.
We're doing our best.
And it is only okay.
It's more than okay. Like, at the end of the day, don't forget, like, we have a very successful, world-renowned podcast that even AI recognizes as one of the greatest Grey's Anatomy podcasts in the world.
Guys,
so
fucking AI. Don't get me started when I'm already grumpy. Every time you ask ChatGPT one question, it is the same amount of energy that goes into over 10 Google searches. Stop using ChatGPT like a search engine. It is not a search engine. Please. Also, the thing about AI, it doesn't know it's wrong unless you tell it it's wrong. So if you ask it a question and you don't know that the answer it gave you is wrong, now we all just have wrong information.
Because it's not going to learn unless it's being told something new.
Just, ugh. It's fine. Everything's going really great.
uh, My biggest beef with ChatGPT is it can't tell me the winning lottery numbers yet. It hasn't learned enough the algorithm.
That is fair. It also cannot show you a picture of any time other than 10-10.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else? So.
Okay. So, yeah. Then they get the heart. Anyways, she is able to celebrate with him. She is able to get past.
She gets there. Emotions, she gets there.
And she is able to be like, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for Reese. Let us support each other once again. Reese recovers really well. They're like, he's a poster child for a post-transplant. He's doing amazing. Like, so good.
And that, I think that was the surgery that when it all happened, Steph was sad. And
yeah.
Christina picked Steph to scrub in over Leah. And that's when Leah started being like, I'm so sad. I can manipulate Christina to get me blah, 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 blah. And Leah, you just can't be more wrong. You just can't be more wrong.
Yeah, tears, that's not going to work on Christina.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So this is happening simultaneously while they also have a woman who has a pacemaker. And when she leaves, something happens. And if she, like, is upright, she passes out. But then for whatever reason, her husband picked her up by the ankles and that revived her.
And also, how strong is this guy?
Yes, because he's straight arming it. Fully also, like, extended. Which is insane.
Why are you not this just like bringing it as close to the chest, holding her by her feet? He's straight arming this woman.
Yeah. But, like, this man should be in like one of those strongman competitions where they like hurl the 40 ton blocks down a field.
I can barely straight arm Marlo upside down.
Yeah, seriously.
A fully grown human spouse? No. Mm-hmm. And he's not even sweating.
Not maybe in this economy.
It's the superhuman strength that he has because he's deaf.
Oh, right. I forgot that he was deaf. Did you relate to that moment?
Yes. It's how Jess, but it's opposite. It's Jess and me.
Right, but you as her, you relate to having a deaf spouse.
Yes, yes. We actually we had two child parties this past weekend.
Oof.
And you know, obviously with Jess's ears, she can't be like out mingling in close proximity with people. So I was on full time mingle duty. And at one point I was like, Jessica, I can't take this anymore. I can't keep talking to other parents about their kids. I don't care about their kids. I like my kid.
Jesus Christ. I don't care about their kid.
And at one point, one of the dads was telling me about how he got this like little plastic pool from Target for his kid. And they were outside playing. And he's like, it was just cold enough and just deep enough in the water where I could put my feet in. And I just like drank 8 beers with my kids playing in the pool. And I'm like, why? That's why are you telling me this? It's a lot of beers, bro. And I don't know if he was exaggerating. I don't know if he was just joking. I don't know if 8 really meant 1. But, like, why exaggerate that point to me? Also, yeah. Jess asked me, what energy are you giving off that if he did exaggerate, he felt like he needed to exaggerate to you? And I'm like, I don't think I'm giving off that kind of energy when I'm out at these places. My daughter's running around in a strawberry hat with a Tiana dress on and Nike Cortezes. I'm not giving off bro energy. Maybe I am. I don't know. But 8 beers
feels like a lot.
And it's 34 degrees Celsius from what I understand.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Anyway, so yeah, Christina like puts her in the Trendelenburg, I think is when they're upside down or backwards like that.
I believe it's the Hindenburg you're thinking
of. It's not. But, and then they're like, oh, it's this thing with the pacemaker, so we'll fix it. So, yay. But Leah and Steph are, because Stephanie got to do this heart transplant, Leah's bitter. So everything's like a competition now. So they run to this lady and they're like doing all this prep, like contest fast, whatever. And Stephanie realizes that Leah puts the O2 to the woman's IV, which is bad. You cannot inject air into a person's veins. Yep, that will kill them.
Yes. Yes.
Anything that happened past this point, in my opinion, should only have happened to Leah. Stephanie did nothing wrong. It is not Stephanie's fault that Leah did that in that moment. That was Leah's fault. And Stephanie should not be punished because Leah is a maroon.
Yeah, my early odds out of Vegas are Leah's going to be the first intern to get killed in the next traumatic event that happens at the hospital.
And how do you think that goes down?
I don't know. Flood.
Flood. We've had a flood before.
Did we? Oh, yeah, that's right.
No one died, though.
Yeah, maybe she falls into the vent. Maybe Owen pushes her into the vent.
Oh, the sexy vent?
Yeah, and it turns into a murder vent.
That wouldn't be very sexy.
Well, to some people, murder is sexy.
I guess that's true. Okay, so yeah, she's not my favorite because she is annoying. And also speaking apparently not good at her job.
Yeah. Also, speaking of sexy murders, you know what I learned the other day?
No, I don't.
Donny Osmond is the voice, the singing voice of the dude in Mulan, the captain. Yes.
And how is that murder?
It's not. It just, I keep forgetting that I wanted to tell you that I realized that.
Mm, yes.
And I'm also I don't think I knew what?
Hunter posted that on Facebook.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, when I search for Apple Music, it says that song, it's Donny Osmond and chorus.
Oh.
I didn't see that post. Yeah, because the other day I was telling you, Marlo was like randomly obsessed with this song. So I was playing it in Apple Music and I was like, Donny Osmond. The only reason I know that name is from Book of Mormon. So I had to look him up. He's like a big deal.
You didn't know who Donny Osmond was?
Don't know who Donny Osmond is, no.
Jacob and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
Never saw it. Couldn't tell you what that is.
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Isn't that a biblical story? Is Joseph like Joseph from... Ah. Does he play the live action one or does he play the musical or the real one?
The live act. Okay, you just said the same thing. I know.
I'm sorry. Is it like is there a movie and then there's a screen adaptation?
There is a movie musical.
A movie
not
musical.
Like Hamilton, like Mamma Mia.
Oh, and then they have a screen adaptation. Does Donny Osmond do both?
He does.
I said the
a
same
movie
thing. Again. I didn't.
And
I said
the screen
same
adaptation, which is another way to say movie. What are you asking me?
I don't know. Okay, Donny Osmond. Either way, he's a person of fame.
I can't believe you didn't know he was a big deal. That's crazy.
Yeah,
because he's a big musical person, like a music person.
Yeah, I guess I just don't know what he did. I don't know his music.
I guess you just don't know anything. It's fine.
I only know the only things in life that I know are what I just watched in my last episode of Grey's. If it does not happen in the current episode of Grey's we're talking about, I genuinely don't even know what's happening.
That's fair.
I can see the room that I'm in, and I can see, like, if you ask me what's in front of me, I could tell you there's a treadmill in front of me. But outside of that, I don't know anything.
Just Grey's Anatomy.
Great. Until this podcast is done, a fleeting squirrel thought that enters my brain that I have to get out that will either make you laugh or make you want to strangle me. So,
so true.
There's no in between.
Pretty much the only options.
Yeah. So yeah, Donny Osmond. But also knowing that Hunter posted something like that in, I'm gonna go look at that. You talk about Grays. I'm gonna go look this up right now to see what you're talking about.
I'm literally actively trying to find it to show you.
Oh.
That's so funny. But yes, so they save the woman. She doesn't die, but then you know, they get in trouble. Christina kicks them off of her service and then Owen is like right there and he's like, and also you're banned from surgery. And I'm like, that's problematic in my opinion, but okay.
Well, Christina likes it. She says,
she thanks him. And I'm like, I appreciate that she is thanking him because she's, in my opinion, she's thanking him for having her back and like stepping in to basically just like confirm that she's making the right choice by penalizing them. But I just, I think it's like a lot in a reaction to the event, which should be addressed, but I do think that it should just be Leah. And I do kind of think for Leah, it might actually be a fair punishment.
Yeah, I agree. Although, I mean,
it feels like something she shouldn't be doing.
Yeah, because then basically you're saying you're almost victim blaming Steph, like, oh, because you were competing with her and she got there first and made a mistake, you're in trouble too.
Yeah, which isn't fair.
No,
in my opinion,
no, it's not. No, I would say that right now your opinion should be synonymous with fact, as far as I'm concerned. In this one,
I feel that most of the time, but alas, so many people don't.
Well. It's okay. Bummer. We learn from our mistakes. Anyways, I like that. I like that. I like that. The end of this, the end of the storyline here, where basically Christina says, go make peace, go make amends.
Yeah. Figure out how to work together.
Yeah. And they see, as they're leaving, she kind of puts her hand on Steph, puts her hand on Leah's shoulder.
She sees that Leah's crying.
Yeah, yeah.
So she does comfort her.
It's a peace offering. It's not a healing. There's no words. There's no I'm sorry. For the record, I don't think Stephanie has to say that she's sorry.
Stephanie shouldn't be sorry.
Yeah, but yeah, Shane's like, heard you guys got banned from surgery, and they're like, yeah, like fuck off, dude. Not everything can be perfect.
What are your thoughts on like all the little like slow-mo moments in this episode?
I kind of liked it. I thought it was majestic. I thought
they did it well. Like the way that they did it, I thought it like all tied together really well.
When they started the episode talking about how like it's a dream come true, I was like, why? Missed opportunity for Disney music. Like When You Wish Upon a Star or something.
Mm-hmm. Do they have to license the song because ABC is owned by Disney?
They would have to license it. They probably just don't have to. Yeah, they'd have to still pay for it. It just probably would be easier to get access to it. Less red tape.
They just take their money out of their pocket and then put it into their other pocket.
Yeah. It's called diversifying your portfolio.
Mm.
It's called stock options.
Right. So good. Okay, so I'm also reminded for yes.
I was gonna say I'm also reminded of that opening scene with the interns where they're like doing their thing and Meredith and Christina are just staring at them and they're like they're so fresh and shiny.
Yeah,
and they go and walk away and they're all saying like, oh, are they gone? I can't tell.
Are they still looking at us?
And they sneak behind and they go, the laughing and the talking. It's pathetic. It's just funny.
It is funny to like think about, you know, when we started the show, that's how they were portrayed. It's like they were the babies and now they're like the adults. It's delightful. What a journey.
And all we can do is keep up with the journey.
We could try.
I guess that's fair. It's really an attempt. But yeah, so anyways, there was the peace offering. I like that there's some resolution with that. I'm curious to see what happens next, but I do think, right now Leah's my least favorite, and I think if they keep doing this, it's going to end up, she's going to end up dead. She's going to end up dead
from being annoying.
Yeah, dead from, she's drawing the short straw, so.
Yeah.
Really, it's the audience is kind of like the Roman Colosseum. Like, if they don't like you, the writers are just going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they really love you, the writers are going to kill you.
Oh, so true. Okay, so did you have anything else on Leah and Stephanie or Christina or anything from this storyline at all that you wanted to mention?
I do. It is interesting when So when the guy comes in and he's holding his wife, they don't believe him at first. Obviously, like, who would? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And when he said, and it's coming off the heels of like Shane is having this realization moment of the other attendings aren't around. They're like doing some sleep or something. Like, we're the doctors.
They're doing some sleep.
They're doing some sleep.
I gotta do some sleep. I'm so fucking tired.
Listen, as soon as I don't even know if I'm gonna edit this tonight. I think we're just gonna make everyone wait a day.
No, don't do that.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. You gonna do some sleep?
I would have liked to. Anyways. So yeah, it was like Shane was like very bright eyed, kind of like trying to rally the troops, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
he's like hyping up.
Yeah, he's being their own hype man. And then that happens, and the guy is like, I need real doctors.
Well, that's fair, because none of those people know what's going on.
Yeah. I mean, it was a weird case, so.
Yes, exactly. Not that it's, you know, it's not like it was something that they should have known, like the chicken pox or something.
I think I got the chicken pox.
Have you had the chicken pox?
Yeah, I had them like kindergarten.
Yeah, same. It's crazy that like now people don't really get the chicken pox anymore because of the vaccine. The vaccine was introduced when you and I were very young, but we probably had already had them because it came out around 95, 96, I think. And that's kind of when it started being standardized. Mm. I had already had the chicken pox at that point, but my sister got the vaccine, so she never had them.
Well, the moral of the story with vaccines right now is just fucking get them.
Jinx.
Yeah. Did you see, what's his name? The fucking idiot Kennedy. He was like, we will not cut and have not cut Alzheimer's spending. And the lady was like, that's just factually untrue. There were 37 studies and you've cut 13 of them.
And he's like, oh, can you show me? And I'm like, why don't you know? Why don't any of these people know what they're in charge of?
Also, every time I hear the Make America Healthy Again, the MAHA, all I think is the freaking the girl, the Christy Bynes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Amanda Bynes.
Amanda Bynes, yes.
Yeah.
Remember when she was a dude?
Oh, in that one movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was a Channing Tatum movie, right?
Yes. Twas.
Yeah.
Early Channing.
That's not She's the Man.
I think it is.
What was the Rob Schneider movie? Where he's a girl.
I don't know.
Also, it's not Schneider. It's Rob Schneider.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Schneider fan, so.
No?
I'm probably not the person to ask.
I gotta look this up. Hold on. What is the IMDb? I'm just gonna look this up really quick.
Okay, I'm gonna start talking about Joe and Alex because they are working together. Joe has a watch. Alex is like harassing her because he thinks that she grew up all rich and prissy and living a good life.
Hot chick.
Oh, no. Unnecessary.
The hot chick. No. Okay.
And I don't really know why he assumes that about her, other than, like, he sees that she has a nice watch on.
Well, he also implies that it's because she's hot.
Well, clearly, poor people can be hot. Look at us.
It's true.
And so, yeah, he is, like, making all these jokes, and she keeps getting annoyed about it, and then she finally leans in, and she's like, oh my god, 27 fireplaces in my giant-ass mansion.
Do you have the receipts for that scene at all? That was I think one of my favorite. That was the second place favorite scene in this episode. When she actually gave the backstory.
Oh yeah. Okay. So Alex says Princeton, Harvard, perfect GPA. Not all of us go to Ivy League schools or drive fancy cars or rely on our richy rich daddies to bankroll our pretty little lives. Some of us have to overcome more than others. I know that. So get over it, Princess. You're in no position to judge. And then she says, did you also know that I blow my nose with $100 bills? And my one-year-old birthday cake was made out of caviar. Also, in one of the rooms of my obscenely big mansion, instead of paint, I just lined the walls with mink. And Alex says, shut up. And she goes, it's true. Guess how many fireplaces I've got? 4. 27. Well, 28 if you count the butler's room, but please, he's the help.
It was a funny scene, and it's a funny moment. And when she says, my first-year-old birthday cake was made of caviar, Alex goes, gross.
Yeah.
I don't think I've had caviar.
I hear it's very salty.
I'd love it.
So this is also happening because Joe delivers a baby for a 15-year-old whose mother is a psychopath and is thusly raising a psychopath.
Yeah, they don't give any context. Is the mom ashamed? Is that like what happened with the daughter?
No, I think they're just both garbage people.
Just assholes. Like, yeah.
Just actually bad people. So she gives birth to this baby, does not give a fucking shit that she gave birth to a baby. Like, does not want to see this baby, is like, I want to go to a party. This baby doesn't know who I am, which is like scientifically untrue.
Yeah, the data doesn't back you up on this one. Freak.
And so this mom is like wildly enabling. And this teenager is just a terrible person. I did not care for this storyline at all.
I didn't care for them.
Was pretty early postpartum. I was like, this is fucking bumming me out.
Yeah, it was wild. But I'm going to tell you why it was one of my favorite storylines when we get back from the capitalism break. So we'll be right back. And the sponsors and the messages and the commercials, they'll tell you all about stuff. And I hope you feel educated. We're back.
Wait, we have to take 1 second because I have to tell you. We got a message from someone and I want to make sure I say who it was correctly. Oh, come on, Instagram.
Instagram?
Honestly. God damn it, Mark Zuckerberg. Okay.
I guess Sabrina. He changed his Sabrina.
Shout out all Sabrina, right, who messaged me and said, lolling so hard because I'm listening to the episode where you're talking about the plane crash lawsuit and the commercial I got is for a private jet company.
Yo!
That is so funny.
See, AI has figured a couple of things out, and that's one of them. Clearly, they're doing something right.
So
yeah. I like this storyline for a number of reasons. Number one, you get Alex and Joe moments, and I'm really liking their on-screen chemistry so that when they do get married someday, it's going to be great. They're going to get married in season 13, episode 4, by the way. So when I think about the things that Joe is showing us, like, she's still new, but trial by fire delivery. And when that nurse was like, she said, I don't know what to do now. And the nurse was like, okay, well, you're the surgeon, so fucking tell us what to do, dude.
Mm-hmm. And but then it's also like, maybe you want to do this. Yeah. Maybe you want to do this.
Yeah. I think she's like, yeah, you might want to try the suction first, honey.
I also, I get confused. I may have talked about this after I had either one of the children that I've had during the podcast, like during the duration of us doing this podcast. I feel like every single birth shown on television is unmedicated because they're always screaming. And I just don't think that you do that when you have an epidural. And I'm like, why is no one on any of these shows ever having an epidural?
I feel like it's the equivalent of, like, Dane Cook made a meta level joke in one of his stand-up specials of, like, when you're driving and you're, like, imitating the wheels, it's always like you're doing this, like, there's a lot of spinning going on. But if you're driving like that, actually, you're kind of going to get into a crash. So, like, your hands actually would just be like this because you should be driving pretty steady. I think it's kind of the same thing. Like, it just doesn't make for good TV. Like,
yeah, it's
it
not,
doesn't make
it's
for
not
good
drama.
Storytelling.
They're not like, oh, you're obviously having a baby.
Yeah. If you're just sitting there and the baby just slides out of your medicated lower extremities,
well, that also
vagina,
doesn't happen. You're still doing something.
In my defense, I've never seen a natural birth.
That's fair.
So I'm speaking from a place of ignorance, but I just assume it's kind of like the human equivalent of when they pour the jelly on your fingers for if you're doing a colonoscopy. It just kind of slides right out of the tube.
Interesting that that was the metaphor you chose, but you wanted to talk about the jelly sliding out of the tube, not the other thing.
Yeah, well, I haven't had a colonoscopy, so...
Then why speaking... did you pick it?
Because I've seen people squirt jelly out of a tube onto their fingers inside of gloves before. Because I've done it. Okay. I've given people a colonoscopy.
Okay.
Didn't I say I was going to keep it? I was going to reel it in. I'm sorry. This is my fault. You're great.
The
I'm
energy okay. tonight is it's somewhere else. I don't know what's going on.
Is the Gatorade in the moon?
I was literally just about to Google is Mercury in retrograde. No.
Are our tides off? Remember that whole trend when people would eat tide pockets or tide pouches?
Tide pockets. Tide pods.
Tide pods.
No, Mercury is not in retrograde, but it will be.
Liar!
July 18th through August 11th.
We should take a week off that week.
Anyways,
okay. The mom sucks. The daughter sucks. The surgery sucks.
Suck.
It's
they leave.
The baby's like having a hard time. She intubates for the first time. There's also that scene that it's really cool. Where they are getting the baby on the ECMO machine, but the baby crashes. So Joe is doing compressions with her pointer finger, and Alex is like, "All right, stop." He hits up a tube. He says, "Go." She does the little CPR. Stop. Puts up in another tube. CPR. Stop. And it's really cool. That's like I think very tense, and it shows that they're like working together well. That's one of the things I liked in the storyline. In addition to getting really awesome backstory on Joe. So that's why I like the storyline. I did not like the storyline because of the parents or the baby mama or her mom.
They suck. Those women are trash.
Absolutely trash. I also
need to
know the legality.
And Joe tries to physically keep them from leaving. And I'm like, at a certain point, I'm like, I don't want that baby to go home with them. They are terrible humans.
I need to know the legality around this. Like someone abandoning a baby. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm not super positive either because then Alex even says, like, let the cops deal with it. But like, I feel like this happens because one of my mom's best friends is a NICU nurse. And I feel like she had mentioned that like this, like it happens where people have babies and then are just like, bye. But like you can surrender babies to like hospitals and churches and fire stations, like what Joe says. So
that's
I don't
crazy.
Really know what like the laws are. It might differ state to state. I'm not super positive, but it only goes up to a certain age because like you can't just take like a 12-year-old and leave them. I mean, you can, but it's illegal.
Yeah. I think you can surrender a 12-year-old into the foster system. I think.
I don't know. I think they can take your 12-year-old away from you. But I don't think you can just be like, I don't want this anymore. You do it. Don't Google it.
No, I'm not. I don't want that in my Google search history.
Yeah.
I love my kid.
Yeah, I'm keeping mine. So it's fucked up. But this story kind of obviously, it really impacts Joe. So then when Alex goes to talk to her, that's when we get the backstory. And I will read that also as a reminder. So Alex is calling her princess all episode. And she finally says, stop calling me princess. My mother left me at a fire station when I was 2 weeks old. I got bumped around foster homes till I was 16 when I took matters into my own hands and started living out of a car. I parked it behind the gym of my high school so I could sneak in and use the showers before class. My home ec teacher, Mrs. Schmidt, let me do my laundry there for free. And yeah, I got into good schools because I worked my ass off. And when I walked across that stage of graduation, I didn't have a cheering section filled with my richy rich family. I had one person, Miss Schmidt. That's it. She is the one who gave me this watch when I got the job. Her son works for the company.
And I think to all of that, Alex just says, it is a nice watch.
Yeah. So I like that moment. I like it, Joe as well.
As someone who has lived out of their car and gotten a gym membership to be able to shower or couch surfed, as someone who has a tumultuous relationship with their parents, albeit actually has experienced relationship with their parents, unlike Joe's mm-hmm. backstory did, as someone who relates to working their ass off for everything that they have in their life, Joe instantly, as I was watching that scene, became my favorite.
Yeah.
This has been, I think there's elements of all the Grey's characters that feel relatable in this show. But this person has felt the most relatable to me. So, big fan. Don't kill Joe.
Hashtag it.
Hashtag save the Joe, save the world. So,
excuse me.
All right. We have another storyline, I think, right? No, do we?
Bigfoot. No, I think we got them all.
Shane on April duty. The guy with the pacemaker. The Joe's baby situation. The interns with Steph and Leah fighting. Kimmy sucks. The mom Kimmy of sucks. Kimmy sucks. Oh, I guess we could talk about really quick. So Callie and Jackson are recruiting someone to do help with Derek's hand surgery.
Yes, we talked about that because we talked about how Shane did a good job because he learned from April.
I thought the only thing we didn't mention on that was, I'm sorry, was that Heather yawns and they're like, get the fuck out of here if you can't handle this shit.
Yeah, pisses me off when, like, God forbid a person need more oxygen, but okay.
Right. And then when they start bringing people up, Joe, like, touches Derek's hand. Derek shoots a look to them and they're like, get out of here, Joe. And then Steph was like, which repair was it done? Like, she is like, can't tell how it was done. And Callie said, if you can't tell just by looking at it, you're done. And then Shane goes up and he's like, you're the only one who treated the patient like a patient. And that was great.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
so I liked that moment. And I liked like them looping in more people to build a good team.
Yeah. And yeah, to answer the other thing you said, just to circle back, I like how they did the slow-mos. So
yes, I also like that. And then at the very last scene when they're all leaving and they're like, oh, I'm so tired. Like, I can't believe it, blah, blah. And then like the like three traumas roll in and they're all like, it's Alex, April, Christina, Meredith, like everyone doing it. And they're like, I can't believe they used to be us, which is a very like powerful moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slow-mo can be really cheesy really quickly or really annoying. And I think they used it sparingly and correctly in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. So I feel good.
Stop yawning. Okay. It's all right. Discord questions.
Discord questions.
Yeah. Favorite to least favorite intern for both of us. We did that. So yours, we're almost identical. I would put Stephanie above Heather.
So yeah, I didn't say that Heather was my favorite. I said this episode.
No. I'm just saying in the way that you ranked them, you had Heather then Stephanie.
That's how I would actually rank them. I would rank them Joe, Shane, Steph, Heather, Leah.
Oh, so what was the other ranking? Just this episode?
How good they did in this episode.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. I think that Heather had a better episode than Stephanie because Heather had a moment where she got to tell off Derek and Meredith, and that was very empowering. But overall, I think that I like Steph more than Heather. Mm-hmm. One, we've gotten a scene where Heather is just, or Steph is just in her bra, which is, like, great. And then also, like, she just gets kind of these funny one-liners, like when Meredith just hands Zola to her. Like, that was just kind of a funny scene. Yeah. I came here to practice medicine. I moved your car, blah, blah, blah. Like, that resonated with me. Heather's like, sometimes I get so awkward and it's easier just to have sex. Like, okay, dude, have some self-respect. Okay. Yeah, Joe's my favorite. Shane's number two, but it's very close. then there's a pretty big gap. Then it goes Steph, and then there's another Steph, and then Heather, and then there's a big gap, and then it's Leah.
Yeah. Will the interns stick around long enough for us to see any of them learn to be attendings?
Yeah, Joe and Shane.
Okay. With the intro to Lizzie as the third sister of Derek's, do you think we will meet the final sister one day?
We would have to. It's got to be a running joke. Like, we're just going to meet all of Derek's sisters at, like, these crazy times. Or it's going to be kind of like in... I was about to make a Psych reference. You have seen Psych?
No.
Okay, yeah, I don't want to do it. Never mind. Because when we do that show next, I don't want to spoil it.
You have said so many shows that we're doing next.
We're doing all of them next. It's we're just which practice. Order? Which order? Well, Private Practice is for our Patreon.
What do you think of Meredith's reaction to the ultrasound? I guess it's more of just like Heather hearing about the ultrasound.
Yeah, it's I mean, Meredith, I think, is well within her right. She doesn't want people to know.
Yeah.
What else would she say? Like, oh, hey, Heather, keep talking about that. Like, that's a good idea. No, she has to stop her.
Yeah.
It's just awkward. Callie sees it. Like, the damage was mitigated.
Would you donate a nerve to a sibling?
No.
Would you donate a nerve to me?
Oh, I would think about it.
The question really should be the other way around, because I would not be as negatively impacted by loss of nerve in my hand specifically as Carmen would, because he is hyper prioritizes his ability to play the guitar over like life itself, which seems dramatic to me.
It for sure is. I'm not even good at guitar.
So. He is terrible at guitar, terrible at singing.
Yeah.
Terrible at being a person.
Yeah.
But like, if you couldn't use, like, if you needed a nerve in your hand and you needed me to donate, I feel like probably I would.
I
don't need mine as, like, he still can use his hand. He just can't do surgery. Like, I would still be able to use my hand if I gave you a nerve, I assume.
I don't know enough about the surgery piece.
The grafting.
Grafting. Yeah, the grafting piece. Because also, like, if it goes, like, what are the side effects for me to give away my nerve?
Right.
That's like, what I would need to be well aware of.
If you give me some nerve, do you lose the ability to, like, play the guitar?
Yeah.
As well.
And is like a complication of that. Like, yeah. Even if the surgery goes well, could the complication be that I lose, like, my hand has to be removed? I don't know.
Yeah, that would be a complication.
Also, is the nerve even coming from the hand? Could it come from my butt?
That's true.
Could it be butt
all the
nerve?
Time they're like pulling stuff from legs and putting them other places.
Yeah. Mm. Remember the one time they put a T-bone on a lady's throat?
Yeah, remember that one time when they sewed that guy's arm to his tummy?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
We should watch that episode.
Okay. Do you think Shane was genuine at the end of the episode? Was he trying to flirt with Kepner to get ahead?
No, I think he was genuine.
I do think he was genuine, and I don't think he was trying to flirt.
I think he was genuine.
He's like, seems like just genuine all the time. Versus when Leah was like to Christina, she was saying, oh, did you read this article? It had some really interesting facts. I'll get you a copy. That's not genuine. That's just ass kissing.
Yeah, that's called a brown nosing.
Mm-hmm. Is Stephanie and Leah's punishment fair? We did talk about that. And I think it's fair for Leah. I don't think it's fair for Stephanie.
Yeah,
Are they both equally at fault? No! Leah's only one at fault.
Yeah. In fact, Leah should be lucky that Steph caught the mistake, which we also mentioned.
So true. They used to be us. Who of our main cast has grown the most since we met them as interns, and who has changed the least? I would say that is hard.
I actually, like, if we're talking the original three that are left, mm-hmm. I don't think that any three of them are even remotely close to the first time we saw them.
Yeah.
Actually, I think... Yeah, that's... I think they're all pretty close. I guess if I... Gun to my head. Christina has changed the most.
Really?
I think Christina has changed the most. Very close second would be Alex. Very close third is Meredith.
Yeah, they are very close, but I feel like I would maybe say Alex has changed the most.
I think the reason I say Christina's changed the most is because Alex reverts a lot.
Alex does fall back a lot. But the thing, my thing with Alex is, like, he didn't even know how to, like, have friends. So even when he falls back into, like, yeah. the sleeping around, he still has them as friends.
That's fair. Also, can we recognize that Christina has had the best fucking mentors in this show?
Yeah.
Why does she get the best mentors?
Because she's the best.
Well, we've all established for a long time now that Joe is the best.
Since day one.
Day one.
Episode one, we all said Joe's the best. Who's Joe? We'll find out in 9 seasons, but she's the best.
I got a feeling about Joe. Oh, that's hilarious. Gosh, I'm so funny.
So, yeah. I agree with you. It's very neck and, like, they've all had really incredible arcs, and they've all changed a lot. In so many different ways. Like, as doctors, if you were looking at it just from a doctor standpoint, I would say Christina has changed the least. But, like, as an overall person standpoint,
as a person,
they've all changed so much. And obviously, yeah. like, they get a lot of those experiences from the hospital because that's the show. But, like, it's so interesting. Like, the show's great. The arcs are great.
It's a great
the characters
show.
Are great. I love it. I loved that moment for this reason. So let's rate the episode.
All right. I think I need to rate this two separate ways. So can you just bear with me?
Mm-hmm.
As a Grey's episode, it's like a 3.7.
Hmm.
As an episode that's getting to focus on the interns and introducing us more to them, 4.8.
Interesting. I would say 4.2 for this episode, which is, like, right in the middle of that. So I think it is hard when you're introducing new characters, but they've done little by little. Like, this isn't the first time we're meeting the interns.
Right.
So because
right.
we've had 7 episodes prior to this of, like, getting to know them, I feel like this is kind of an earned story, an earned episode. Because at some point they are going to have to, like, integrate the stories together more.
Yeah.
And do, like, more of interwoven, like, consistency. So I think this is kind of a good jumping off point to do this. And I think they do it really well. They use, like, the little slow-mo and, like, the fascination, which we kind of saw from a different perspective when it was the original 5 of, like, just their infatuation with medicine and with surgery.
Yeah.
So it's just that in a different way. And I think they do it really well, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, I agree. When you're introducing new characters, like you said, it's tough. Because of the incredible trauma bonding that we've gone through with these characters in Grey's mm-hmm. already, there's definitely a, like, who the fuck are you kind of mentality. And I'm glad we got to spend some time on this. I think I'm rating it so highly as an intern episode because I was not expecting to get the backstory and really just fall into this relationship of relatability to a character. But I also need to temper my expectations because, like, how they use that storyline in the show, who knows? If you know what I mean. So, but yeah, this was, I think I'll put the average there and it'll be pretty close to you. It's 4.0. Whatever number I said 3.5 and 4.8 or whatever I said, the average. So, yeah, good episode.
Yeah. I also, there was, it reminds me, there's like a meme that says, I hate watching pilot episodes of TV shows. Like, who the hell even are these people? And that's kind of how this episode is. But it's not a pilot, but, you know, they're introducing a lot of new people.
It's a pilot for the new phase of Grey's. It's the new,
in a way, but it's not. Again, I think placing it further into the season is the right move, and kind of like introducing them in little drip draps before now, and now we get the whole glug.
The whole glug.
Predictions.
I said this. Alex and Joe are going to get married. Season 13, episode 8. I think April is still going to end up with Jackson, but Shane may sweep her off her feet. I predict that the baby with Meredith and Derek is going to be happy and healthy, and I cannot wait to see the Christmas pictures between with them and Zola. I don't have any predictions right now for Christina, because she kind of is in limbo right now, other than her and Owen are going to go through with the divorce, but I think it's going to get to a point where it's healthy and amicable. Alex is Alex. Who else do I have to predict? What else do I need to predict on this? I don't remember everyone. I can't even think straight
right
now. Well,
it's like we can't really predict anything for some of our regular people because we didn't see anything new. Like, we didn't see anything for Callie in Arizona. We didn't see any, like, we kind of, like, Owen and Christina, what the fuck still.
Yeah.
You said Derek and Meredith. You said, so Shane and April, you said, is a maybe. Anything for Heather?
No, nothing for Heather right now.
Leah is still pining for Alex. So do you want to do any prediction on that?
No, because Leah's
no,
I'm not,
because it's stupid.
I'm not getting, it is stupid. Don't pine.
I
for
agree.
Alex.
It's stupid.
Don't, I'm not going to get emotionally invested in Leah because they are going to kill her off first. They are.
By so, what did you say? You said flood and then you said something else.
Flooding, drowning. Stampede. Okay. Maybe she gets one of those like slingshots at the carnival. The tether snaps.
Oh yeah, that'd be a bummer.
Yeah, just get fucking launched. What a terrifying way to
right
go
into space.
Never stops. Remember those Patrick Starr memes where he just would get launched into space? He was like,
yes.
I gotta go find one of those now. Those things always make me laugh.
Okay. Well, I think that's it. Did we have anything else?
You're great, you know?
You're great.
Aw. I went. Yeah, all right. Let's. All right, let's call it a night.
Oh,
let's
wait.
Get some sleep. Oh,
we might not have an episode next week.
Might not. That's right. We might celebrate.
We don't
America's
know
100%,
but we don't know.
It's actually not the reason. I just have a very crazy schedule for week for work next week.
It's a holiday week, which do tend to be crazy. I'm sure
that
Marla's
Wednesday
is closed at some point.
They're closed on the 4th of July. That Wednesday, though, the night that we usually record, I'll be working like 14 hours that day.
Cute.
So it's yeah.
So it will either be late or not at all next week. We will post an update on both the Discord channel and the Instagram. So just check out Instagram if you're not on our Discord channel. And we will have a final answer on there. But thank you guys so, so much for listening. Can't believe we're in season 9. Can't believe season 21 is on Netflix. Can't believe season 22 is going to start this fall. Everything's crazy and wild. We love it. We love doing the show, and we hope you guys love it, and we appreciate your support. You can go to graysacademypod.com and find all of our links to all of our social media. You can email graysacademypod.com, or you can email graysacademy@gmail.com, and you can find our Patreon link on our website as well. And we just really appreciate you, and please keep sharing us. We love it when our new friends find us, and we so appreciate that from all of you. And remember, if you see Carmen walking down the street,
remember, no spoilies. We appreciate you all. We'll see you all in the next one. I don't know why I said that, but yeah, we'll see you all in the next one.